Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
And we are continuing to talk about our work of literature, Around the World in 80 Days. It's all about this extraordinary voyage that was taken by Phileas Fogg and Passepartout. And Passepartout and Princess Aouda.
We talked about the author and his life, his background.But today, in day three, we're going to talk about some of the themes within the novel, what the author himself wanted to communicate. Perhaps, you know, they don't just come right out and tell you. That's part of reading, is to try to kind of figure out some of the themes and some of the messages that are being perhaps communicated to the reader, or just what you think is going on. And not everybody agrees on this. You know, there's a lot of... What do you call it?
Controversy?
No.
Discussion?
There's a lot of literature courses that you'll take in college at least, and your teacher will have one idea, and then your fellow students will have other ideas of what's happening in the novel. That's a fun thing about reading. It's up to you to decide what you think it means.
Exactly. So we'll talk about those themes and ideas right now. So let's read the entire contents of today's lesson one time.The most important theme in Around the World in 80 Days is time. Fogg lives his daily life on a strictly timed schedule. His wager is a race against time, and in this case, time literally represents money. Fogg makes notes of any losses or gains of time after each leg of the journey. Like the money he freely spends while traveling, time is a quantity that can be spent.One major reason Fogg and Passepartout can afford the time to rescue Princess Aouda is that they'd gained time from arriving ahead of schedule earlier in the journey. In many cases, time halts the characters' plans, but it's also what wins them the wager in the end. British imperialism is another significant theme. The novel was written at the height of colonialism, when the sun never set on the British Empire.Britain was seen as a civilizing force as it imposed Western values on many countries, often at the expense of native cultures and customs. Everywhere Fogg goes is either a current or former British colony or heavily influenced by British trade. In fact, Detective Fix even has the right to arrest Fogg while he's in the British-owned territories of India, Singapore, and Hong Kong.Scientific progress is also a prevalent theme throughout the story. Steam engines in ships and trains allowed people to travel further and faster than they ever could before. The transcontinental railroads in India and the U.S. are described as feats of engineering as well as triumphs over nature. The dangerous wild animals visible from the trains are insignificant compared to the man-made iron beasts. Even when technology fails,Fogg's own scientific and logical problem-solving abilities overcome every obstacle.
Okay, guys, we're going to talk about some of those themes now. It says here in the first sentence that the most important theme in Around the World in 80 Days is time. Remember, it's a race against time. You'll often hear that phrase, a race against time, if you're watching a preview for a movie or maybe a TV show or a series where there's something they have to have done, or maybe the whole world dies. Maybe there's a big disease that infects a city, and if they don't find a cure or what we call the antidote, everyone's going to die. So it's a race against time.They are racing against time in this particular novel because they've only got 80 days to get themselves all the way around the world, which back then was a really big task. So I can see why the important theme here would be time.
Right, and we can all relate to that. Okay, how much time do we have to prepare for the exam that's coming next month or something? Time is a big factor in modern life. We all need to wear watches and keep track of time and things like that. So Fogg lives his daily life on a strictly timed schedule. Okay, he may even have all these things written down. I wake up at 6:30. I have breakfast at 7 o'clock. I go for the bus at a certain time. I get to work at a certain time. I have lunch at a certain time, blah, 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 blah. Everything's scheduled out right down to the last minute. So, yes, indeed, he has a strict life, and it's strictly timed. His wager or his bet is a race against time. Yes, you can get £20,000 if you get around the world in less than 80 days. So, again, that has to do with time. And in this case, time literally represents money. We often say that in English, time is money. You know, mm-hmm. You got to work hard. You got to get this thing done mm-hmm. as soon as you can because time is money. If you're late, then we lose money. If you're on time or if you're faster, then we actually make money. And that's what it's all about. Time is money.
Yeah. So in this case, it does literally represent money. Remember, there's that wager, the bet that they place for £20,000. So there's a lot of money at stake. Fog makes notes of any losses or gains of time after each leg of the journey. Leg here is being used as a measure word, a 量词, and we have different portions or parts of a journey that we are probably going to undertake if we're taking a long voyage. The first leg might be, the time you spend on a train going from California to New York. And then another leg would be the time you spend on the ocean going from New York City to over to England. There are different parts or portions of the journey. Well, he makes really careful notes. Anytime they lose time or gain time after each leg or portion of the journey. So like the money he freely spends while traveling, time is a quantity that can be spent, which is true. So he is pretty free with his money, which means he doesn't really have to budget too much. It's nice to be able just to freely spend money while you're traveling. But here it says time is a quantity. A quantity is an amount. You will see two words that are very similar many times, quality and quantity. Quantity means the amount of whatever you're looking at, and quality is the degree of how good something is or how bad something is. So he considers time as a quantity that he can spend while traveling.
Yep, you can spend time, of course, if you travel, say, to Thailand and you've got 2 weeks, you think, hey, I can spend 2 or 3 days at Phuket or something like that. That's something I can spend. Time mm-hmm. can be spent, whereas other time needs to be spent, like taking a bus there or flying to Thailand, etc. That's how you sort of plan your travels there and how much time you can spend in each place and on transportation.
Now, one major reason Fogg and Passepartout can afford to rescue Princess Aouda. How do you say her name again?
Aouda is what
Aouda.
I said.
Yep. Yeah, what a weird name. Aouda is that by the time they reach her and she's being sacrificed on the fire, they've actually gained time. So they had extra time. They were ahead of schedule, you could say. I love it when... The pilot will come over the system. You're on a plane, and the pilot will say, "You know, we've picked up some tailwinds, and so we're going to be gaining some time or making up some time we lost earlier." Usually, your plane takes off late these days, and so then they're trying to make up that time later in the air. So you can gain time that you've lost, and they were able to. Rescue that poor princess because they arrived ahead of schedule or earlier than they'd planned in the journey.
Indeed. So, indeed, they gained time. They were ahead of schedule. Mm-hmm. So they did have time to rescue the princess. If they were behind schedule, then they probably would have had to let her burn on the funeral pyre there. Too bad. Too bad.
I bet they'd still try to save her.
Possibly, yeah. Especially if she's a knockout princess.
She's pretty. You know?
And, of course, Phileas probably had a crush on her, so he thought, hey, we got time, let's stop and save her, and she can join us. Mm. So, indeed, in many cases, time halts the character's plans, but it's also what wins them the wager in the end. So time halts their plans, it delays their plans, it sets them back, or they are setbacks. Sometimes, of course, as we saw with the train not working in India, so they had to take an elephant. That halted them. Halt usually means stop, but it can halt their plans. Joy, gee, we were planning to take the train, but now we can't do it, so...That has halted our plans, or it's stopped our plans. But again, they seek other things, and they have other breaks here and there. So, of course, that's what wins them the wager in the end. Of course, we're referring to time here. Time is on their side, and they end up winning the bet.
They sure do. We're going to talk more about some other themes in this particular novel. But first, guys, we're going to use this time now to take a quick break and listen to our Chinese teacher.
Hi, everyone. My name's Jenny. 今天我们要看的是文学的主题。我们继续来讨论这本书《环游世界八十天》。我们呢，前面有两个部分，一个谈故事的整个情节大要，一个呢，就谈作者的生平。好，然后最后的这一部分，我们就要来谈谈这部书它的主题，它有什么样值得我们深思探讨的点。好，谈到它的 theme， 基本上可以说有三个大的主题。第一个最重要的就是 time， 时间。好，我们知道 Fogg 这个人呢，在故事里面他就是非常严格的，有一个严格制定的行程表，每天就是这样过日子。好，我们继续往下看，下面就说到，那他一生好像他的赌注，因为我们知道他跟人家赌注说他要在八十天环游世界一周，那他是一场跟时间的赛跑 ，a race against time。好，那的确真的。因为这个时间对他来说每一分每一秒都很重要，因为他就像就是代表钱，下了赌注重点就是钱，所以说如果他失去了一点时间，他一定要把它追回来，因为时间对他来说他是可以被花费的数量，一个 quantity。 好，那我们再来看下面就提到说 Fogg 像他为什么中间他不是有救了一个奥达公主吗？其实他能够花这个时间去救她，主要就是因为他们之前的旅程是提早抵达，可见他时间算得之精确。不过在这一段的后面之里，我们注意到一个字 What， It's also what wins them the wager in the end。 好，这边的 What我们稍微讨论一下，因为我们知道 what 在英文里面它的地位它很特别，它呢连接一个子句的时候，在句子里面的功能有时候是双重的功能，像这个子句它基本上 what 本身是这个子句里面的主词，可是它引导出来的后面 what wins them the wager in the end 整个子句又是这个It's also be 动词后面的补语，所以说以这个子句来看，它是有双重功能的。那 what 本身的双重功能让它成为一个复合冠带。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Okay, we shall continue with the themes and ideas in our article. The first one is time, how much time they have, how much time they can spend, and whether or not they can win the bet according to time. They need to get around the world in 80 days. That is certainly a certainly a quantity of time. Now, here's another theme, British imperialism. That is another significant theme or idea in the novel. So imperialism, that just refers to countries, usually in Europe, going around the world and taking over weaker, less developed countries and making them colonies and stuff like that. Europeans did that. The Japanese did as well. Japanese imperialism, you could use that to describe their actions during the 1930s. But in this case, they're talking specifically about what the British people did, how they took over various territories in the world during that time.
That's right. So the novel was written at the height of colonialism, when colonialism was really at its peak, you could say. So at the height of colonialism or the peak of colonialism, when the British Empire was quite big, they had that very famous saying where it's the sun never sets on the British Empire because they had taken over so many different countries around the globe that even if it was dark over there in Europe, it was probably daylight somewhere in Asia or India where they had colonies as well. Colonialism refers to a very strong, powerful country going into a weaker country and using military force or other means to set up colonies or their own citizens living there. And they felt like they were bringing their wisdom, their knowledge, their power to help the people. But in essence, they were also hurting the people there who lived there natively. They probably didn't want another country to come in and take power from them. But that was what colonialism was. Of course, in America, the United States of America was settled by the British as well. They initially sent over citizens and then Americans decided they didn't want to be ruled by England anymore, and they went to war and they fought for their independence. So that's a colony. Colonialism is the term for this particular political move, you could say.
Indeed. So it was all a part of British imperialism, and Britain was seen as a civilizing force as it imposed Western values on many countries, civilizing the savages in the world and imposing their values, which kind of it means it's sort of negative here. They not only offer their values, but they actually force people to accept them. That's what an imposition is. That's the noun there. Impose is the verb. And, of course, that means they kind of force those people to accept those values, whether they like them or not. And they did this at the expense of native cultures and customs. So, as you can see, sometimes the British went in there and said, hey, you guys got to eat these scones and drink this Earl Grey tea. It's superior to the stuff you're eating and drinking. And they forced it on them so much that the local cuisine and the local culture was changed or even totally destroyed. So that's why we say at the expense of those native cultures. I guess you could also say that about American expansion in the U.S. there, going out west there and basically imposing American culture on native peoples there. At the expense of them. So they've basically been totally decimated for the most part. They're still there, but their cultures have been pretty much almost totally destroyed. So indeed, it's at the expense of those native cultures and customs. Yeah, we don't care. You know, you guys are savages anyway. Take our stuff. It's better.
Well, they felt like they were helping them civilize, you know, teaching them how to read and write and maybe treat the women better than they'd been treated before, although Western civilization had problems with that too. So, as Tom said, often at the expense of, or they did this, but at the same time they were hurting the native cultures and customs. So you can use that term at the expense of. Let's see, how could we do a sentence with that? I'm redecorating the house at home at the expense of my brother's tastes. He disagrees with my style, and I disagree with his style, but I won, so I'm redecorating at the expense of his happiness. I would say he's not going to be happy when I finish. You can do a lot of things at the expense of other things. Maybe you can think of something, Tom.
They're building a new luxury apartment complex at the expense of some of the old traditional houses that are standing there. They're just going to tear them down and build.
I like the old houses.
Yeah, they do that all the time. All these old houses are constantly getting raised because developers want to put up big apartment complexes and make a ton of money. That's what it's all about. Time is money. But in any case, yes, they're doing this at the expense of native cultures and their customs. And everywhere Fogg goes, remember this is Phileas Fogg, the main character, everywhere he goes is either a current or former British colony or heavily influenced by British trade. So at the time, of course, Hong Kong was still part of the British Empire, as was Singapore, I believe. So those places they went to were either part of the British Empire there, or they were formerly part of it, like the U.S. used to be part of Britain. And so, yes, basically all the places they go to have something to do with Britain.
Yeah, even Japan, Egypt. So quite a trip they took. So he went through any of these former British colonies or colonies that still had the Brits there where they were trading. In fact, Detective Fix, it says, even has the right to arrest Fogg while he's in the British-owned territories of India, Singapore, and Hong Kong. That's changed. The British Empire no longer rules in India, Singapore, or Hong Kong. So things have changed since then. Scientific progress is also a prevalent theme throughout the story. If you see this word prevalent, it's an adjective. It just means it's commonly found. It's widespread. You can see it. It can also mean something that's powerful. So take a look at the particular usage. Scientific progress is a theme that is prevalent. Steam engines and ships and trains. Steam was used in both ships and trains to get those things to move, allowed people to travel further and faster than ever, than they ever could before, which is really exciting stuff. Transcontinental railroads in India and the U.S. are described as feats of engineering as well as triumphs over nature. It was a big deal to get the railroad to connect from one end of the country to the other end. I'm not talking about India here. I'm talking more about the U.S. We've had several TV series just about the building of the railroad, which is fascinating. I love that stuff. It's fiction, but it's historical fiction, so you learn some facts as you're watching it. A feat here is a very successful
accomplishment.
Yeah, we're not saying F-E-E-T, it's F-E-A-T, so be careful with that. And a triumph is when you have victory over something, and here it's a triumph over nature. Really difficult just to get a railroad through mountains and hills and around rivers and lakes and things. So, yeah, pretty cool thing. Transcontinental means it stretches from one side of the continent to the other.
Indeed, a feat of engineering and a triumph over nature. They could defeat those mountains and those rivers. It was a triumph. It was a victory over nature. And the dangerous wild animals visible from the trains are insignificant compared to the man-made iron beasts, which, of course, is referring to the trains themselves.
Yeah.
And, yeah, those wild cheetahs and tigers in India and maybe the mountain lions and the buffalo in the United States were no match for those trains. The trains could go through those places without fear of being attacked by wild animals. So, indeed, they were pretty strong compared to those animals there, or at least the trains were insignificant. Excuse me. The wild animals were insignificant compared to those trains.
Yeah. So Fogg's own scientific and logical problem-solving abilities overcome every obstacle. So, yeah, kind of cool to read through his book and to see when technology fails, and sometimes it does, as we all know. He had his own scientific and logical problem-solving abilities that would then be put into use to overcome every obstacle. Logic is when you think about something in terms of facts, not feelings. And you come up with a clear argument that makes sense to people. There's reason behind it. So if something's logical, it's reasonable. It has logic. It has reason. Also, an obstacle is something that's getting in the way of something you're trying to accomplish. It's blocking you. So all of us have goals in our lives. If you have an obstacle that is confronting you, find a way around it, through it, over it. Don't let it defeat you.
What a lesson in life. My goodness, if you read this book, your career will advance by leaps and bounds. We highly recommend it. It's a triumph over time, and it's all about technology and stuff like that. So, yeah, I would say this is very inspirational for someone who is very ambitious with their career. Check this book out. It will change your life. Okay, that brings us to the end of our explanation. It's time now to listen to our Chinese teacher.
好，我们继续来看，说到这个环游世界80天， 它的主题除了 time 时间之外，第二个重要的主题就是提到 British Imperialism， 这就是英国帝国主义。的确，这个书它的时代背景，当时大英帝国是一个日不落国家，所以英国呢，它好像呢本身就是到别的地方去殖民之后，就是教化当地的原住民，所以它被视为是一个教化的力量。注意到这个片语A civilizing force. 我们知道 civilize 跟 civilization. Civilization 就是文明，所以 civilize 当作动词就是让什么有文明，使变得有文明。那么 civilizing force 指的就是教化的力量。好啦，那有点高高在上的感觉哈，但是的确当时就是这样子的。他把西方价值强加诸于很多国家，这边用到了 on 这个介系词，注意到 impose A on B 它的介系词，这种 collocation 搭配词要注意哦，用的是 on。 再来下面呢就说到他到的地方，要不呢就是英国现在或以前的殖民地，要不就是是深受英国贸易影响的地方，所以用到 either A or B。 either or 当然是两者，或 A 或 B。 好，我们继续往下，还有第三个主题。第三个主题就是跟科学有关， scientific progress， 科学的进步，这也是这个整篇故事里面普遍存在的一个主题。提到了船、火车、蒸汽机这种的发明，让他们可以到处旅游，用很快的速度到达远方去啊！而且呢，像在印度跟美国的这个横贯大陆的铁路，基本上就是一种科学工程上的杰作。注意到这个字 transcontinental， 我们知道 trans 跟 continental 放在一起，说它是横贯大陆，为什么呢？ trans 这个字根，注意一下，它就有点跟两个之间的交换或连结有关，所以我们会有 translate、transform、transport 这些字都有这个字根。而 transcontinental 就是跨越这州跟州之间的这样的铁路。好，提到了这三个主题，无非就是告诉大家这本书非常值得阅读。我们今天讲解就到这边，谢谢大家。
Thanks for joining us, guys. We hope you get a chance to pick up a copy of Around the World in 80 Days. I recommend it just to see how imaginative Jules Verne's mind really was. Before any of these things existed, he was thinking of them. It's kind of a cool thing to look at. And maybe let your own imagination go free, go wild, see what you can come up with. For English Digest, I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Tom. Goodbye.
Bye.